You can remind me, Pastor. It's let it rain. Hallelujah. Let it rain. So, church, the structure of the church. This is the message, right, for this. Afternoon. I have to say, I can't say morning now. It's afternoon, right? And so, make sure you're awake and taking notes, and don't drift away somewhere else, right? On your holiday, stay here in the boot camp, right? We all make every effort to come to church regularly every Sunday, right? You're all here, you made the effort, you got up, you've come to church. But what is the purpose of the church? Right? I'm going to pause there. What's the purpose? Why are you coming to church? We may all have different ideas and thoughts, but what does the Word of God instruct us, right? According to Jesus Christ, the church is not merely a building or weekly gathering, but his body on the earth, built by him, led by the Holy Spirit, and established to teach, equip, strengthen, and mature believers. So we're going to go, just a little small scripture, the commandment, right? This is the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, 18 is short. I'll read it to you if you want to read it for yourself. So we're going to just go through the structure, what God is telling us through the scripture, what he's describing the church is supposed to be, okay? So the first scripture is going to be Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 1-8. Okay? And Jesus came and spoke to them, being his disciples, and he says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, okay, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So we're getting, at the resurrection, we're getting an instruction of what God is saying, right? So we have this direction from the Lord to make disciples from those who would believe and follow him. And I'm going to Ephesians 4:7, and it's going to lay out that instruction. And so if we get to Ephesians 4:7, we're going to just read it slowly together. How Christ starts to unravel. Okay, this. So Ephesians 4:7, we'll read it together, and it says this: "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who has ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill in all things." So I'm going to pause there for a moment. So we get this understanding from this verse. He led captivity captive. This is Christ triumphing, okay, over death and Satan. This is when he's resurrecting. Okay, he freed all those held captive by Satan that were in Hades. Okay, and he led a procession after him, after his conquering. So the image is Jesus dies, he goes down to the lower level, he makes proclamation, he takes the keys. Think about it, he takes the keys and he goes up. Okay, he takes captivity captive, meaning everything that used to bound everyone, Satan, the law, he took it captive. Okay, and he comes to give us the key. So it's very important we get the imagery, then we'll get the message, and then we'll get the revelation. We can understand from this verse, Jesus has the victory. He now has the keys to give to the church on earth. So important, right? He has to give us the keys. Now, if we read from verse 11, he provided gifts to men and mankind. And so we're going to continue reading. Verse 11 says this now. This is Christ establishing the church. And he himself, he gave some to be the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay, what for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is the function of the church. So we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay, stay with me. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Someone mentioned false prophets today and false doctrines today. In the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth. Now, you can only speak the truth by the Spirit of truth. Okay? Speaking the truth by the Spirit of truth in love. Not condemnation. Okay? Not bad news. But in love, may grow up into all things. Into Him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, that's all of us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, all of us here, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Right? So it's a mandate, awesome picture. A lot of things God is saying here, but He's given us the structure of the church. So churches will have the structure that God has ordained. You can't move from it because He has ordained it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Those are the ones instructed. The whole world, the church that God has put together on the earth, has to function in this format, this structure. So that when you read the Bible, you can say, well, I'm really sorry, but what you do is not in here. Your structure is not there. If the structure is not there, you can't get equipped for the work of ministry. Isn't that right? Am I making it up? Am I twisting the scriptures? Am I? Could I? Think about it. The structure. You know, when you send your children to university, right? You're expecting the university to teach your children all they need for 3 years, isn't it? So they can get ahead in life. They get good grades. Isn't it right, everyone? So God is no different. The God of the universe has put a church in place to help everyone here grow in all the areas listed here, so that you are no longer tossed to and fro by doctrines, okay, dodgy prophets, false churches, false doctrine, false spirits. So it's important when you come to a church, you know the structure of a church. Otherwise, how can you discern if it's the church of the Lord? Okay? Equipping the saints for ministry. So I'm just going to go over a few things. This means leaders equip believers. My role is to equip you, to share with you, to give you doctrine, to give you sound doctrine, to be a leader, to be a type of role model, so that hopefully my life can match the scriptures. You can get an idea of what it's supposed to be. Very important. Role models, leadership, very important. Just like you go to school, university, you're expecting the professors, the teachers, to teach your children what the university you have enrolled your children in, the topic. That's all it is. Simple, isn't it? Come to church. What's the topic? This, 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 this. Now you check, are you equipping my children for this work? If you are not, why not? Okay, so God is now discerning, saying, guys, discern what I'm saying to you. Now your discernment's going to think, okay, you know what? Okay, I've got a structure here. So this means leaders equipping believers to do the work of ministry, and the whole body is strengthened and built up. So all of you here, okay, with every issue you have, You come to the Lord with it, or you come to me with it, and I send you back to the Lord and with the scripture. Isn't it right? Not my own teaching. I got the scripture, I give it to you. I'm not taking you somewhere. I'm not giving you a self-development training course from the world. I'm putting the scriptures, here you go, do that. Equipping means teaching, training, correcting. Wow. Encouraging, helping believers mature spiritually. Just like classroom, isn't it? Just like a teacher. Do your homework. Stop being late. Stop messing around. Take it seriously. Start to understand your homework and believe it and get fruit from it. Get good grades. Work for God even more. Isn't that right, church? Except university is for yourself, but Jesus' work is for life and eternity. The work of ministry, right, can include these things: preaching the gospel, serving others, praying, encouraging, helping the weak in spirit, teaching truth, caring for people, using spiritual gifts properly, and a living witness of Christ, finding out your talents, what God has given you, okay, and putting it to use, the work of the church in your life. Or you're coming to church and you're actually not doing or accomplishing anything. You don't grow. And no one sends their children to a school not to grow. You would be incensed, wouldn't you? Yeah, you take a little children to school and 3 years learn nothing. What would you do to that teacher? Think about university, but the church has such a low value. You can go to church and learn nothing for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Is that right? And you don't even know, you're not even growing. It's very shameful. It is very shameful not to know anything after 3 years of being in a church. Very shameful. Very shameful. When the scriptures all give us a clear example. Edifying the body of Christ means building up the church spiritually, so believers grow in love, truth, unity, maturity, holiness, and in the likeness of Christ. Right? So it's so important, isn't it? The church, the role, when you come to church, you're not coming to sit down and listen to me. You're coming to listen, to learn, to write notes, to grow. Because your growth is very important to the Lord. Your talents that God has given you are very important to the Lord. And so today, I would say the main teaching for the saints today, I would say this as a pastor, would be the new creation. Okay? The new creation. The new identity. Through Jesus Christ, the believer becomes a new creation. The old life has passed away and a new identity is found. The new creation, number one. Number two, the new mind. The mind of Christ, your thinking. Very important. The mind of Christ as believers. Your mind should be renewed through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You should be changing. You should be transforming. You should have a different mindset. Are you still with me? Are you falling asleep, church? No. Are you grasping it? Shall I give you some homework and send you a test of 10 questions? I was thinking about that. Some of you will answer it. I've done it before. I got two people answered it. And maybe I'll do that and say, you know what? You come up here. You have an answer. And we'll have a proper classroom, shall we? Okay, the new creation, the mind. Listen, the new creation is really important, church. It's really important, right? The new man. How you feel inside. Your emotions, your feelings, the past, things that happened to you. The old man has to die. Has to die. The old life has to. The Spirit of God cannot work. He cannot work if you are holding on to the past and you've been baptized and you're still holding on to it. He can't work. He cannot work. He only works when you die. He only works when you come into the water and you're baptized and you die. And you believe you're dead. Otherwise you get up and you're still the same. And you're still alive. And you're still kicking. And the old man in you is rattling around. And you're doing the same things. And your baptism is futile. It doesn't mean anything. So I have to teach you that. So you can understand it. And then you can start to think, you know what? Am I doing the same old things after my baptism? Teaching you all things. Okay, Jesus is command is to teach you all things I've commanded you. So I'm commanded to teach you from the Bible all things that Christ would want you to know in 26, teaching you all things. The picture is not of one man. Listen, the picture is not of one man, not of me, or few people in the church doing everything while others simply watch. Okay, that's not the role of the church. You're not spectators. The picture is the whole body functioning together under Christ the head. Everyone here has to work together. All of you have to work together because we're one body. The scripture says this, according to the effective working by which every part, all of you here, does its share. You know, you can't have everyone doing the cooking and the cleaning and no one does this. Everyone has to help in the church. And thanks be to God, we've got people here that will tend to the gardening, tend to the cooking, tend to things in the church. So praise God, we've got people entering into the works of the Lord. Listen, you're very blessed. This church is your church. It's not my church. It's your building. You know, in the Catholic Church, and any other church, you go in there and use the building, you come out. But this church has been given to us, and I'm giving it to you. When you see things not right, or things in order, you have a duty of care to the Lord, because God is speaking through you to those things. Well, I might not see it, but you might see it. You might recognize something in the church, in this building, that you think, Lord, you know, that's not right, and let me try and fix it. Pastor, can I do X, Y, and Z? Oh, praise God, hallelujah. You see, so you can all help and start to work in the church, because it's not my building. It's our building. Right, our building. So God is wanting us to make sure we are understanding what He is saying to us. The church's responsibility. The church is meant to be a place of spiritual growth. Okay, you come every Sunday to church, a place of spiritual growth, of transformation, discipleship, and maturity. Teaching the people how to live according to the life of Christ. In this sense, it becomes a school of life. Yeah, you should be coming to the church. You should be learning new things. Okay? A place where believers are equipped and developed. By God Himself is teaching you in this place. By His Word and His Holy Spirit. The church's responsibility, okay? Teach the saints the way. The way. Before believers were commonly called Christians, they were often referred to as followers of the way. I think that's much more better, to be honest with you. Followers of the way. You can see this in Acts. We are referred to as the way, this way, or those of the way. The examples, I'll send it in the notes later. Acts 9:2. You don't need to read it now, but you can read it later. Acts 19, Acts 24. The name connects the words of Jesus Christ. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. You see, it's a greater meaning. Coming to church means a lot more than I think you may understand or comprehend. The term Christian only appeared in Acts later on, after disciples were called Christians in Antioch. Okay, early believers were called the way, followers of the way, which means followers of Christ. The teachings, the ways of Jesus Christ. So church, what do you reckon? Boot camp or holiday? What?
Holiday.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it. Not me though. Okay, so you get the choice. I've got it here anyway, because I spoke about it earlier. I put my notes. Boot camp. Listen, there's a time for boot camp right in the church, isn't it? And there's a time for holiday. Okay, so we'll merge them both. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But it's fine. As long as you know boot camp and holiday exist in the church, I ain't got a problem with it. Not all holiday. Listen, according to how serious, well, and I don't mean in a bad way, that you take the Lord, He'll take you, right? That's what I say. I don't want to put a burden on people. According to your love for the Lord, according for whatever He's put in your heart, if you want to see those things, right? Will be according to the way you will follow the Lord. And in that, of course, it's going to be up to you. So who empowers the church? I'm just going through the scriptures and coming to the end. Very important. Who empowers the church? Anyone? Two words? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who empowers the church? Not humans. And we get this image, right, from Acts 20:17. It's quite insightful. If you want to take a moment, I'll give you a moment to get there. This is Acts 20:17. Now, you got to think, while you're getting there, this is Paul setting up the church that Jesus Christ has established. He was an apostle. There would have been elders and different people in the church, functioning in the church. And so Paul, he's calling the elders together and he's saying these words to them. And it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Okay, the structure of the church. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I am gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Okay, he's off to Rome before Caesar. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Okay, I want you to see that word, okay? The church has to be run by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the man over it, but the Spirit of God is really the one running it through the man, okay? Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So that's a serious thing, isn't it? Okay, if God is giving a church to a pastor, whoever is giving it to, elders, that's directly God saying, listen, these people, all right, you tell them what I need you to hear, because I purchased them. They're not mine. You're not mine. I can't lord it over people here. Right? As much as I, boot camp. Okay? I can, with all my heart, earnestly direct you. With all my breath, I can direct you. But if you don't want to, I can't control. I can't say, well, you know what? I can't weaponize. I've never, ever weaponized my preaching for anyone here. No one ever is that special. Right? Maybe the pastor, I said, listen, you're not that special, honestly. If the word is hearing it, it's from the Spirit talking to you. You're just not that special. That I would weaponize a whole sermon for you. Sorry. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit is the one in charge, right? So we're going back from the scriptures, Jesus Christ's commandments. We're going to the structure in Ephesians, aren't we? And we're going into Acts where Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And the Spirit talks to the churches. Well, I want to make this point now. The Spirit of God has to talk to the churches. This continues all the way to the book of Revelations, when we are told about the seven types of churches on the earth who the Spirit of God talks to. There's only seven churches on the earth. Think about this. Isn't that interesting? There's seven churches on the earth, right, that God is talking to. Book of Revelations, read it. You'll see. To the seven churches. They represent today the same churches, okay, that he's talking to. And I'm going to say the seven churches. And at the end, it says something very important, right? So we've got the first church, the loveless church. You can read about it, okay, Book of Revelations 2 onwards. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? The loveless church. The persecuted church. Again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Very important. Are you grasping this? The compromising church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? The corrupt church. Again, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? The dead church. Again, here we go. The dead church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The faithful church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The lukewarm church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? So I want you to get the picture in your mind, right? In your head. We went from the commands of Jesus Christ, didn't we? Matthew. We went to the formation of the church. Okay? He's put in place. If you don't like it, talk to him. Right? We go to the book of Acts, where Paul is saying, listen, the Holy Spirit is the overseer of the church. We get to the end days now. End days church. Very important. You grasp this. When you're listening to people and different people, right? Okay? The Spirit of God has to be talking to the church. Right through the church. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Now, the seven churches couldn't be one church with those people in the church, right? So it doesn't mean that there's this perfect church. It can be a combination of those people in one particular church. But the thing is, the Spirit of God is talking, the congregation will hear and they will repent. Whoever that comes for. Okay, that is the church structure for everyone here. When you're talking to me about churches, you can say to them, is it this structure? Is the Spirit of God working? And then you will discern the church. And you get to understand what it is. All right. And I will share only because it's come up, you know, a month ago. We had, you know, in our prayer time in the morning, we had three encounters, right, this year. Right, in the back area there. Right, we had a centurion turned up. We had a holy man turn up, sit down there, and he's writing in a book. And then we had a massive ear, supernatural ear, came out of the ceiling while we were praying in the morning. Well, I say that to encourage you because the scriptures are talking about churches, any church, it doesn't have to be this church, the churches need to have the Spirit of God, right? So when you're going to, we talk about churches, they need to be having the Spirit of God in that church. Or you should be thinking, well, Lord, is that the structure that I should be coming under or following? You've got to be careful, right? Because the church will tell you about doctrines, which are false doctrines. They'll tell you about false teachers and false preachers and so on and so forth. Because that's his church on the earth. It's his church. His church, not my church. Every man of God has got a church. It's not his church. It's his church. You've got to remember that. He controls everything in the church. Just a puppet. Right, that's it. So the structure of the church, I'm coming to the end. So now we get a full picture of the church. Jesus Christ himself has formed on the earth. And the function. So one, the commandment to teach them all things, just summarizing. Two, the structure through the fivefold ministry to equip the saints for ministry with his authority, because the church will have the keys to give you the keys. Right? Church will give you the keys. Number three, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay, not a church of man. Not a church of men. No human power or philosophy, but those empowered, anointed by the Holy Spirit. All right, that's what I'm going to say to you. Anointed, because God has to anoint to do the work. Number four, those seven types of churches that continue to listen to the Holy Spirit from the book of Revelations. And number five, so Christ himself, through the Holy Spirit, can build his holy church on the earth. All right? Who builds the church? And I say to you, I'm just finishing now, that you are Peter. And on this rock, the pastor will build my church. What's wrong with you? Why are you laughing for? Did I change something? What did I change? No, I think you've got the wrong Bible.
You can see
him up
on holiday.
Holiday, okay, boot camp. Okay, Lord, sorry, Lord. Now, I say to you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Isn't that awesome? A word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus Christ is declaring that he himself is the builder. Just finishing, okay? I have to finish my notes because I wrote them. He appoints people and the Holy Spirit empowers, oversees and leads them. The power of death and hell will not overcome his church. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. It doesn't matter what's coming. It makes no difference. It means nothing. Okay, he will save his church. So we see the Word and the Spirit together build the church on earth. And we're in the middle of that. All of you here, when you come to church and you make the effort, you are included in that. So when you come to church every Sunday, this is what you are entering into, right? When you think, oh, I don't feel like I want to come. Whatever is going on, right, you need to know what the church is, who established it. Okay, we are entering into God's teaching and equipping through the ages. God has established his church. So finishing with us, we should take every opportunity, everyone here, to enter into what the Lord has prepared for his church, which is for you. You know, our heart for you is for you to enter into the works of the Lord for your life in his last days, to be taught, to be equipped, to be strengthened, corrected, encouraged, and built up as a one body. Hallelujah. I'm going to just stop now. And not a holiday. But
Not boot camp, but holiday.
No. I'm the pastor. I'm always going to say, listen, it's not a holiday. It's a boot camp. And then you're going to say, Pastor, no. Pastor, it's not a boot camp, it's a holiday. The good days, hallelujah. Okay, so I'm gonna just pray over everyone here, just to end this, and then we will finish the service. So Father, Almighty God, glorious King, we thank you so much for your words, your scripture. We thank you, Holy Spirit, to give the brothers and sisters your understanding of the church and fill in any gaps. Maybe something I've missed, Lord God. Maybe putting them, the structure, the calling. Many are called, and you are called here today. If you're here this morning and you're still in service, God has called you. God has appointed you. God has anointed you. You should not be weary or give up or lose hope. You should just stand up and continue walking, continue pursuing the Lord. I pray for some of you here that you will mature in the things of the Lord, that you will understand the teachings of the Lord, that you will meditate on this really for the week, that you start to hear the scripture and understand it, and then teach others that you come in contact with who are not getting the full understanding of the church. And so I pray, Spirit of God, for your anointing, even more so on the brothers here, the children here, the women here, there's women evangelists here that bring many to the Lord. I know that. There are many men here who bring women to the Lord because it's all the Lord's. And so, Lord, we pray that they would take the wisdom that God has given through the scriptures to teach, equip, train, Father God, Lord, to speak the truth in love, to tell people the full picture of the counsel of God, that no one should be robbed of the teaching that comes down from heaven through the scriptures and by the Holy Spirit. And no man or woman, Lord, will lack, oh God. There's not a teaching of the world, Father God. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ. I just pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, you are the teacher. I may teach some things, but you would teach the brothers here, the brethren here, all things. May you help them, oh God, in their struggles and what they're going through. Help them with their breakthrough. Help them, Lord, to be equipped. Lord, strengthen them. I pray for healing over the hearts and the minds and the bodies here. I pray they may encounter daily the presence of the living God upon them. Lord, I pray they're connected to the source of life that will rejuvenate them. Oh, Father God, I pray for their sleep will be peaceful. I pray for dreams, that they'll be connected in the night with dreams, oh, Father God, with visions, with things to happen, because you are the God of eternity. You know the end from the beginning. So I just pray over everyone here your blessing, Lord. And we pray as they leave here today, those that need to leave, that your goodness and mercy will continue with them from the service till tonight, till tomorrow, and all the days of their life, until they see you face to face, or until you call them up to meet them. And also we pray every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So we are going to have a time.